Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. Finally, we have the right song. Olin Krutz joins us. Olin joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Your car ready for fall weather? See your CarX man. Olin, you're a great follow on Twitter, man. You really you do a great job during the games and all the rest of it. It's interesting. A lot of the stuff that you've had to say, I think, is fascinating. I loved your retweet of a story or a quote from Tara Cohen saying that that he believes he can complement the skills of one.
He could spark it up,
Jordan Howard. Yeah. But that's exactly. Yeah. I mean, they used to call it thunder and lightning. This is like electrical storm. I don't know what you call it, but they are a great yin and yang.
Yeah, and what people underestimate is just the understanding of young guys understanding where exactly they fit on their team and accepting their role. And it's something you worry about. You worry about does Tariq Cohen think he needs to be the main back? Does he want more touches? And when you hear something like that, a guy who just wants to be a team player, who just wants his team to win and understands, like, look, Jordan Howard's an amazing back, and I'm just here to compliment him. And he's correct, because if Jordan Howard runs like he ran yesterday and the Bears block like they blocked yesterday and Jordan Howard receivers go down from the first tackle, then when he comes in, even though the defense knows he's in there and has been taught and given their scouting report, well, now they're used to, they have to come downhill hard, hit that hole, because Jordan Howard's been running them over. And then you see something that you saw with Tariq running overtime, where he bounces backside and nobody's there because the linebackers are trying to fill that hole so hard that Jordan Howard's been hitting. And now the back door is open for Tariq Cohen. And it kind of reminds me, guys, of when Cedric Benson and Thomas Jones are working together. And that's kind of what we had when we played, because Cedric was a strong workhorse running back who was hard to bring down. And Thomas was a guy who would bounce backside and hit out the back door out of nowhere. And they complemented each other perfectly. And these two guys can do that for each other.
Yeah, and no doubt about it, Olin. You know, but you see Jordan Howard, and he gives you almost 40 yards in the final two runs and helps you win that game. But you could actually see him spinning and taking contact on the left side rather than the right side. And here comes the short week in Green Bay, and you knew going into the game that he was trying to get over that shoulder injury. You just worry about what kind of pounding he can take moving forward.
And you know what? Welcome to the NFL, right? I mean, listen, the short week's always hard. You're going to play with some injuries. And credit to him that he kept getting off the ground, kept breaking that first tackle. Because to be brutally honest, if you watch the film closely for the first two games, he wasn't doing that. He wasn't running through arm tackles. He wasn't breaking that one tackle that all the good backs have to break. There's going to be one guy who defeats a block or one guy who comes free. And you need to break that tackle to have a dominant run game. And he was doing that yesterday, and I hope he continues to do it. And look, you can see Kyle Long limping on the field. You can see that he's still sore from whatever he's going through. But he battled through yesterday and in a short week. And Green Bay's going to have a short week, too. You just have to think that way, that, look, I may be sore, and I got a short week coming, but so do they. So whoever's hitting, whoever's getting after the guy, whoever's trying to hit the guy harder, the other guy will be more sore than them.
I thought Kyle Long really played well, and it really helped them in the interior of that offensive line. And Olin, you know, they won on the defensive line and they won on the offensive line. When you win the line of scrimmage, you can win games.
Yeah, they really did, and their defensive line, you know, Goldman really, really took it to Pouncey and Hicks took it to DeCastro and all their, you know, everybody talks about the Steelers' offensive line. Well, the Bears' D-line stood up with, you know, six or seven in a box and did a really good job stopping Le'Veon Bell. And it looked like Todd Haley just pretty much abandoned the run after a while. But, you know, the Steelers obviously missing Tuitt and missing Watt. And the Bears went after that. I can't really say his name, but I think his name is Chiquilo or number 56 on that left side or wherever he was. And Deion Sims, who has been a great pickup for the Bears, really dominated that guy, and so did Leno. But, yes, having Kyle back, it just makes a difference. You know, he's a physical, big guy who gets a lot of movement when he gets his hands on people, and that's not something you see in the NFL a lot. But, you know, the Bears line did really well, kind of shocked looking at some of the film this morning of how much the Steelers didn't add a safety to the box, and we're giving Glennon some respect, but also want to give a shout out to Bellamy and Thompson who were blocking like they were two linemen out there. So just a total team effort in the run game, and it usually is when a run game looks like that.
Marcus Cooper had a mixed game. He did some really good things, and obviously the one thing he did do that everyone's going to be remembering, not so good. How's that handled by players in the locker room in particular? You know, John Fox, very even keel in the post game, saying that he'll learn from it and all that. But
Olin, you would have publicly supported him and privately choked him. Is that?
It's an interesting question because, like you guys know, they don't suit up a lot of guys on Sunday, right? You only get 48 or 47. I don't know the exact number, but you know, you need every guy that's in pads. So when a guy has a really bad play, You know, you're really trying to pick them up and get them back going again because you know you're going to need them again. As you can see in the game, they needed him again. But it all depends, right? Like, I don't know what kind of pro Marcus Cooper is. If he's the kind of guy who's doing things the correct way every day, he's been a pro, he's in there early, he's working hard, he knows his assignments, he doesn't make mental mistakes, he's giving you everything he's got, then that one mistake you can overlook because you just know that that's not who he is consistently on a day-to-day basis. Now, if he's the kind of guy who comes late, is out at night, doesn't study his book, does make mental mistakes, well, then now he is a problem. And, yes, you would approach him in the locker room, you know, and in so many words, tell him to get his stuff together because that play, you know, it's unacceptable. I mean, there's really nothing else to say about it, and it would piss you off if he was your teammate because McManus makes a hell of an effort play there blocking that kick. And there it is. They're up by 7. And, you know, that game, you know, if you watch it closely, like every NFL game, the Bears got to go back after a win and loss and correct things because, look, Jordan Howard fumbles in the third quarter. Tariq Cohen fumbles in the fourth quarter. Massey jumps on it. Glennon almost throws a horrible interception again. So the game could have went either way at a lot of the moments. And the Bears, like with Cooper's play, like with a lot of other games, they have to be very honest with themselves and their assessment when they come back to work either today or tomorrow.
How would you have handled all that anthem stuff? Did you like the idea that George addressed the team?
Yes, I did like that just because, you know, there's so much attention given to it. And you know, just to let the team know that you're with them and you're with whatever decision they make. Now, look, if somebody wants to take a knee, I could care less. I'm going to support my teammates. I wouldn't have took a knee, but he shouldn't care if I don't take a knee. So I don't know why everybody cares so much what everybody's doing. I do think a problem is when you make 53 guys stay in a locker room, it's like you're making a decision for 53 guys. Now, I do think that's a problem because you can't tell me all 53 guys wanted to stay in that locker room. And as you can see, Villanueva didn't want to stay in the locker room. So I think you should let guys come in. One of the best moments, guys, for an NFL football player, I thought, was when the national anthem was playing, the Jets are flying overhead. It's just at the beginning of the game, there's so much emotion in the stadium, and it's a feeling that as a former NFL player, I'll never get back. It's a feeling before the game that you can't explain to anybody. It's a great moment. It's that kind of energy, you know, that kind of just, you know, just raw emotion. I'll never get to experience that again. So, you know, staying in the locker room, as a former player, would have really pissed me off if the coach made a decision like that for me. But, you know, as far as taking a knee and making a stand and doing a protest, well, that's up to my teammate. And I support him. I support what he does, and he should support what my decision is.
This segment with Olin Kreutz brought to you by Ford. Tune in every Monday to Built Ford Tough Bears Monday, brought to you by your local Ford store. Olin, we'll let you go. You and Big Cat will be on with Hub after the game on Thursday night. So I know it's not easy to get the body ready, but you got to work that voice out and you got to get your notes together.
Quick turnaround for you.
Now you'll know the hell we went through.
It looks like hell, man. Twitter and talking on the phone is rough.
All right, Olin. Thank you, buddy. Take care. That's Olin Kreutz. You're listening to Mully and Hanley on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of The Score. Casey Johnson joins us on the Car X Tire and Auto Hotline. Your car ready for fall weather? See your Car X man. And KC, we we're a little bit disappointed that this Wade buyout and all the stuff with the NFL protests and all the nonsense with the Cubs has erased the fact that Nico's back. That we haven't really spent enough time.
Celebration of Nico.
Fear the beard.
Did he not have much of a market, or did he just want to stay?
Both.
Okay.
Wanted to stay, and he thought he was going to get a big money deal in like a $15-16 million annual range for 3 or 4 years. And as everybody saw, the restricted free agent market this summer was just non-existent. So we all, everybody's been writing he was going to be back. It was just at what price he was going to be back. And, when he got close to camp starting, it was a pretty safe assumption he was going to be coming back on the qualifying offer of $7.2 million. So good for him. He got a little bit more guaranteed money, and the Bulls are protected that second year with a team option.
So the D-Wade money goes in the Nico fund, and the second-round draft pick they sold for $3 million or so goes to the Nico fund, and you're good to go. See, it's very efficient.
No, the Jordan Bell money went to the Rondo buyout. You got to keep track of all the different Yeah, the three offices are no longer. It was a short-lived experiment. But Dwayne, when I talked to him last night, I thought he made a fascinating point that is so spot on. I mean, we all know pro sports are littered with what ifs. But really, let's play this out. If Rondo does not get hurt and they somehow go on to beat the Celtics,
yeah,
aren't we running the three alphas back this year in a depleted Eastern Conference?
Oh, absolutely,
they're not,
are. Yeah.
They're not beating the Cavaliers, but they're going to be, I'm thinking, a top four playoff team this year. So it's really amazing how things play out. And Wade's 1 year here will be certainly polarizing with how it's viewed. But he'll be elsewhere probably, I would think, by the end of today.
And maybe Melo is coming and joining him.
You mean he's joining Melo?
And the imaginary world, I'm saying.
Great call, Melo. Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, you saw the movement this summer, and if the Bulls, somehow win a series or two and the three alphas are running it back in a depleted Eastern Conference and all this movement happens, again, they're not beating the Cavaliers, but you've certainly got a little bit more buzz going on this season than what's coming, although I do think that there are a lot of fans out there that I talk to that are ready for this. And I think this is why this Wade buyout needed to happen for both sides, because Wade didn't want to be here. He wanted to play for contender. And now I think you just go into today, media day. It's a completely fresh start. The only faces back are, of the older guys are Lopez, who's the perfect veteran, and Nico. Obviously you got a lot of these young guys back, but it's about the young guys now. And that line between the young guys and Wade was forever crossed last January,
right?
When Wade just, burnt scorched the earth with his comments about them. So this is the right thing that for both sides.
Is it fait accompli that he ends up with LeBron, or the Miami can offer him the most money? It's not a lot, but it's more than $4 million versus about two and a half with Cleveland. He says he's not ring chasing. Is he going to go back home to Miami and make nice and end his career there?
I think, Brian, those two are the leaders in the clubhouse. But in the brief conversation I had with some people close to him last night after I talked to him, they said to not rule out some other contenders like the Spurs and the Thunder. So he's going to land somewhere. He's going to land somewhere nice. He's going to be with a legit contender to win a championship, or Miami, which is his beloved home, and going to be a good team, not a championship caliber team. So he'll be in a good spot.
I think I'm voting Sam Presti Executive of the Year, which is why I don't get a vote, but here's a guy that turned Cameron Payne into Doug McBuckets and then helped turn McBuckets into
Mello.
I mean, it's ridiculous that the that whole trade and everything about it, just crazy.
Yeah, it's all about opportunity, and obviously he hit on two big opportunities. A lot of these trades come down to, in terms of the market, come down to the timing. You know, the Melo certainly looks like pennies in the dollar, given that the Knicks were in a similar situation to Wade and the Bulls, where they just didn't want that distraction coming into training camp. And you know, they obviously had to shop them aggressively. And, you know, Presti's well known throughout the league for making big splashes and big moves and big opportunities. You know, some of the proactive move, obviously, with the Harden situation hasn't looked good in retrospect, but for the most part, you know, he's made huge moves and kept that team relevant in a small market. You know, after the stunning and staggering departure of a guy like Kevin Durant. So that team will be certainly interesting to watch. But as we all know, the problem is they play in the wrong conference.
It was interesting that D. Wade told you that, you know, Fred's going to have an opportunity here to prove what kind of coach he is. We know that D. Wade is a pro's pro and he knows how to play the game. Do you believe that he sincerely thinks Fred Hoiberg's an NBA coach?
Well, that's a great question, Brian, and you nail it by saying he's a pro's pro and knows how to play the game. I'll tell you this. I've talked to Dwayne many times about Fred Hoiberg publicly and privately. He genuinely likes Fred Hoiberg, likes him a lot. I was with him a few weeks ago in Springfield, Massachusetts, at the Hall of Fame, talking to them both casually at length about their relationship. And, you know, Dwayne said this on the record, but he also said it off the record. He said, you know, Fred's a guy I'm going to be friends with for a long time. He genuinely likes Fred Hoiberg, but and you knew there was a but coming here. It's interesting that he says that about the personality because, you know, in a lot of ways, Wade is the exact type of player that does not fit Fred's system. So Wade coming here last year kind of hamstrung Fred for a second straight season. That's not to say what Dwayne had a bad season because offensively his numbers actually were pretty good. It's just not. He doesn't play the type of game that I think you're going to see Fred try to play this season with a young, hungry, you know, get up and down the court type of team. So, you know, but, you know, another thing Dwayne said is spot on again. You know, you either choose it to build behind Jimmy and him, or you choose to build behind Fred. And the organization has made clear with their investment in Fred by not only clearing out, you know, the roster for young rebuilding team that Fred hopefully can coach his style, but also by bringing in Doug Collins to, you know, kind of be that senior advisor to help all areas of the organization, but certainly to help the coaching staff as well.
Well, let you go, KC. I'm guessing that this is the timing of this is really good for the Bulls because they got this done. They don't have the distraction. They come into camp, they do their thing, and they're not worried about what the future holds. Everybody's not kind of whispering to everybody all the time.
Yeah, bingo, Mully. I mean, we've all covered these, you know, fresh start days of pro sports, and there's supposed to be a feeling of optimism. And, you know, it would have been handled fine because Dwayne's a professional. But if Dwayne's sitting up on the dais today at media day, the entire focus of the Bulls rebuild is about when is Dwayne Wade going to be bought
out.
Now that storyline, check that box off. Now it's about the only storyline left is that, you know, slightly negative is what is Zach Levine's knee going to be ready? That's not even a negative because
right.
He's ahead of schedule. It's just when do the Bulls let him play? Now it's all about the fresh start, the rebuild. Again, this is the right move for both sides.
Help us all. All right. KC, thank you, buddy. Great catching up with you.
I'll tell Nico hello. Take care.
Yeah. Give him our best. Yeah.
Fear the beard. All right, Joe, you got Nico to kick around. That'll make you
great.
Happy.
I had Saturday, after that trade went down, it's like you couldn't help but think of, with McBuckets being involved,
yes,
about that trade.
Right.
Yeah, I know. Everyone
Gary
did.
Harris,
flashback.
I'm like,
yeah.
Oh,
boy. And they're doing the rebuild.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Cubs are on the verge. They're on the verge of clinching the division. They just need two more games, right? That's the over-under. They could get that done very quickly. I think the Brewers are off today, so I think they'll need 2 days.
That's right.
But we got the big party coming, and we're going to bring in a man that knows a little something about fun, a guy that means a lot to us. Okay, Brian, I'm getting the feels again.
You're going to need a moment?
I'm getting the feels. Mark Grody. I love Mark Grody. He'll join us next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
7:41 on The Score. You got Molly and Hanley. We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Want a better car? Head to Hyundai. We're going to talk some Cubs with Mark Grody. First, we'll try to get your work on time with Jill.
Some solid travel times out there. Traffic sponsored by UPSJobs.com. I'll start with the Kennedy. It's 45 minutes in from O'Hare to downtown. 26 from Montrose, 20 in the Express, but an hour and 10 out to the airport. Westbound extension, solid River Road to Mannheim. On the Edens, 28 minutes in. Lake Hook Road to Montrose, back out at 32. Eisenhower, hour and 6. Thorndale into the post office, 48 from Wolf Road and 45 heading out to Thorndale. That's Stevenson heavy at 1 hour, 355 to Lakeshore Drive, 46 in from the Tri-State. Outbound looks good at 36. The Rhine, 28 minutes in, 15 on the outbound trip. Now southbound 53, cruiser in the right lane and Higgins helping a tire changer, but it is backing up there. Other tollways, usual tie-ups. And northbound 65 jammed up after 8094 as crews clean up a crash. UPS is now hiring part-time package handlers throughout Chicagoland, with some locations offering tuition assistance and up to $100 in weekly bonuses. Apply now at upsjobs.com. You're listening to 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
Thank you, Jill. It's now time for the Chicago Baseball Game Day schedule presented by Amazon. The Cubs take on the Cardinals. We're going down there in 1 second to bring in our guy Mark Grody, his pregame coming up in a few hours. And the White Sox, they play the Angels over at 35th and Shields. That is today's Chicago baseball schedule brought to you by Amazon. Join Amazon at their newest facility in Crest Hill, now hiring part-time associates with flexible shifts. Apply at amazon.com/JolietJobs. Amazon is an equal opportunity employer.
Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of The Score. Ah, the good old days. Mark Grody joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Your car ready for fall weather. See your CarX man. He's graduated to bigger and better, but always a place in our hearts. You can always come home, Mark.
Oh, there is just so much comfort going on right now. Getting out of bed, hanging out with Molly and Hanley, and I'm looking outside the hotel room, which I didn't do last night, and looking at St. Louis, where we have spent a disproportionate amount of time.
You spent
this
a month there 1 week, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, I was thinking back to that. This is where the season started.
That's right.
We had the rain out, so. And then a day off here. So there's been like a couple of like full weeks spent in good old downtown St. Louis. So everything is just very familiar, hearing your voices and looking out at St. Louis right now.
It was interesting to hear some of the players, young Cub players, talk about wanting to clinch in St. Louis and how excited they were to do that. So they still get the rivalry aspect of it, even though it seems to be all but done here. It's that's not as going to be nearly as compelling as the Brewers series was, or the anticipation of it.
Yeah, and I think that's okay with a lot of Cubs fans, because that was a stressful series in Milwaukee. Even though they took 3 out of 4, they had to do it the hard way. I actually think it's kind of cool, because typically when I've kind of even like swayed away from asking questions to young players about rivalries and what it means and all that kind of stuff, just because you know the answer you're going to get and the answer you should get, because, well, they're not from here. They didn't grow up watching Cubs Cardinals. Frankly, they try to respect it, but they don't care. Now they get it, because this has been going hardcore with the Cardinals since 2015. There was some legitimate bad blood that started to gear up between these two teams, and obviously Joe Maddon throwing some fire at the rivalry a couple of years ago too. So I think it's legit, and I think that the young players and the veterans alike, yeah, it sounds like they all really like the clinch here in St. Louis, and they're obviously in a great position to do it.
And I know that the mind of Zoe is unfiltered, but I was surprised that he was so adamant about it and talking about how much it meant to everyone and all the rest of it. Unfiltered mind in history. That's pretty unfiltered.
I was surprised about that too, Molly. As a matter of fact, I just read those, because I'm not down in the clubhouse, yeah, obviously, after the games, and I just read some of his quotes and his, the confidence that he's speaking with, that assuming that they're going to do it here. That's the way he was talking, and obviously they're in great position to do it. But Yeah, the Cubs are full Cubs right now in terms of their confidence and the way that they're playing, and they're playing with that swagger again. And it's interesting too. Like taking the team bus and walking from the bus through the tunnel to the clubhouse every day in Milwaukee, there was a different sort of business swagger to it, and the way they were walking, and just sort of this, we know we're going to win. And then watching the Milwaukee employees watch the Cubs walk in, it was pretty cool too. You could just kind of see it in their eyes a little bit.
You know, Mark, there's still business that needs to be attended to, and tonight John Lester is probably first on that list. But his outing tonight, does that determine whether he gets a ball in game one of the first playoff series? And the good news is Justin Wilson looked like the guy you traded for over the weekend, and you know, here's hoping there's more of that. Do you think he turned some sort of corner over the weekend?
Yeah, you know, I'll answer the last one first about Justin Wilson, because he had struggled in another game in that series before he recorded the four outs a couple of days ago, and I honestly thought that was last call for Justin Wilson, that okay, they put him out there again in high leverage, he didn't come through, what's next? And then lo and behold, in game three of that series, he records three big outs in the seventh inning. It's the first out of the eighth inning before, you know, chaos obviously ensued for the Cubs in that game. But I think that was hugely important for Justin Wilson, and they will continue to put him in high leverage spots. And I'd be shocked if he wasn't on the playoff roster. They've sort of insisted upon Justin Wilson. They have told him that he has to be good, basically. That look, we traded for you. We know you're good. Your velocity is incredible. Start throwing some strikes. And I think that's what he's done. And I had a talk with Justin Wilson a couple days ago too, and he said, look, I don't like being in non-high leverage spots, even though Joe Maddon did what he had to do, putting him in, you know, less risky positions. He said, look, I thrive when it's high leverage. So I do think that he will right himself. The John Lester question is a great one. You know, let's say he struggles today. I don't think that necessarily clinches that John Lester would be, you know, somehow not the number one, or, you know, not a consideration in some big time spot for the postseason. I still have a feeling that, let's say even he does struggle today, I'm going to guess he still is as the number one starter against Washington, assuming the Cubs do clinch. And that's based on the fact that, A, he's John Lester, big game pitcher. Unless there's something wrong with the arm, then you still put him out there. And then you got all those lefties, too, in the Washington lineup, and you want to get off to a good start. So it's a great question. You hope that he does well if you are a Cubs fan. But I don't think that this is make it or break it day for John Lester.
What about Jose Quintana? What about the performance last night? And does he, you know, again, left-hander against that team, does he move up in the rotation? Is he still the fourth pitcher? Is there a chance he wouldn't play in that series?
Oh, man. Yeah, no, I think Jose Quintana probably plays in that series in some way, shape, or form. I mean, how can you not, based on what he's been doing in this month, with a, you know, 163 ERA and four starts, and then just brilliant yesterday. You know, and maybe a lot of that too will depend upon the health and the strength of what Jake Arrieta is able to give you. But you know, it's going to be hard to deny Jose Quintana against those lefties too. And it's funny, we asked Joe Maddon the same question yesterday, and it's hard for those guys to get into hypotheticals right now when they're just trying to win the division title. But he kind of answered the way I did, where he just kind of took a deep breath and said, yeah, this is a really difficult rotation to put together right now in terms of who's hot, who maybe is not right now, in terms of lefty matchups. Do I want to go lefty-righty? So it's going to be intriguing objectively to see what Joe Maddon does.
Yeah, it's interesting they kept that door open. He didn't shut it down and say, of course, Lester's getting the ball, and that's the end of the conversation. Hey, Mark, thanks for getting up this morning. It should be fun one way or the other, because if you can clinch against the Cardinals, that's always a good thing.
Oh, yeah. No, I think that would be a very satisfying ending to a very wavy season for the Cubs this year. Yes, great to be on with you guys as always.
Thank you, Mark. We appreciate it. That is our guy, Mark Grody, in St. Louis. We're going to take a quick break, but we want to get to a couple of phone calls before we get to Tom Thayer joining us in the next hour, and of course, our guy Akeem Hicks as well. Mully and Haley on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Haley on the Score, that's on the Score. That is the voice of Pernell McPhee. We are the Store. We're just selling you various products, hopefully entertainment.
Pernell had a sack yesterday, right?
Pernell McPhee with a sack. If he could get up and running, that would help the defense a lot. You know, I heard Dan Pompey in the pregame talk a little bit about Leonard Floyd and how he's been kind of disappointed that they haven't used him in the way that we thought he was. You know, we haven't seen that Leonard Floyd from the preseason. Be nice to see him get up and running. And
didn't even notice him yesterday.
Go after Aaron Rodgers a little bit. All right, we have a lot of people that have waited a long time, so we're going to get – we'll start with Terrell. Terrell is in Memphis. He's been listening online. Good morning, Terrell.
Good morning. Good morning. Hey, I love the show.
Thank you.
I was just calling. I got a comment and a question.
Mm-hmm.
My comment is I just wanted to give much love, respect, props to the beloved players and the coaches for yesterday's win. It's been a long time, and it put a smile on my face. I know a lot of people got regular jobs and everything, and that kind of gets us going a little bit. And I just wanted to give them much love and say thank you for that. And I know we got the Packers coming up, beat the Pack, you know. And my question is, with all of this unity and protesting and everything, is this like a moral victory Monday for Colin Kaepernick? And would it be like the final tee to the president if somebody like gave him a job?
That's funny. Yeah, Terrell, thanks. I heard someone saying they expect him in the league in the next couple weeks.
Hey, Baltimore might want to revisit that. Well, Joe Flacco has been awful.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Bears play them too. Don't revisit it for a while. 312-644-6767. Alan is in Indiana. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, sir. I need wisdom. How can the ownership not hire Kaepernick and then stand right with the players who refuse to stand for the national anthem?
Yeah, that's basically what Terrell was asking. I don't know the answer to that question. I think that whenever Colin Kaepernick's name has come up about possibly where he's going and who wants him, it comes back to a couple of questions. You know, does he want to play football? Is he willing to take a secondary role? I mean, how much money does he want, and does he think he's a starter-level player? And I think that, the love of the game thing, that's the excuse, Alan. I don't know that that's legit, but that's the explanation that people give you as to why he is not in the league.
Yeah, they want clarity from him, and he hasn't publicly said whether he'd be happy with a backup role and salary.
Right.
But the other part of it is, how does the front office and coaching staff want to have Colin Kaepernick anywhere near their building?
Yeah, it's difficult to figure out. We're going to get to Joe with an update. We're going to come back from the break, and we will talk to our guy Tom Thayer, and Akeem Hicks is also going to join us just a little bit. Mully and Haley on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.